His name is a strong tower, a refuge of grace. His name is a place of rest, a foundation for my faith. His name is a hiding place, a shelter from the storm. I will run into His name, there's safety in the Lord. Turn me to gaze upon Your face. Open me to Your unending grace. Turn me, Lord, from doubt and fear. Give me eyes to see. A constant gaze upon Your face is all I'll ever need. My gaze often wanders far away from Thee. My heart begins to look away and look within so selfishly. But it's then I hear Your loving voice whispering to me. I know Your frame, I understand, I love unconditionally. Turn me to gaze upon Your face. Open me to Your unending grace. Turn me, Lord, from doubt and fear. Give me eyes to see. A constant gaze upon Your face is all I'll ever need. God is my strong tower, my refuge of grace. God is my place of rest, the foundation for my faith. God is my hiding place, my shelter from the storm. I will run into my God, there's safety in His arms. Turn me to gaze upon Your face. Open me to Your unending grace. Turn me, Lord, from doubt and fear. Give me eyes to see. A constant gaze upon Your face is all I'll ever need. Lord, You're all I'll ever need.
Wonderful. If you would, take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to go back there this evening. I promise I'm not going to try to re-preach my brother-in-law's message from Sunday night, but Psalms chapter 16, if you would, we're going to study through this chapter. Don't get too anxious. It's only 11 verses, okay? So it'll be good tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you as it has been to me. While you're finding your place there, I want to thank my father-in-law for the opportunity to preach. It's a blessing to open up the Word of God and preach the Word of God. But it's a sobering thing, and sometimes it can be a scary thing to open up the truth of God's Word and to make sure that you're saying what God says and not your own opinion and not your own thoughts. So would you pray for me? All I want to do is say what God says tonight. I don't want to give you Stephen's thoughts. My wife can attest those aren't always wise, okay? But the Word of God is good. And it's what changes our lives. And so we're going to dig into that this evening. Psalms chapter 16, would you look at verse number 11? We'll start there, and then we'll ask the Lord to bless the preaching of His Word, and then we'll dig into the rest of the chapter if we could. Verse number 11, if you would, Psalm chapter 16. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. I want you to remember that phrase there. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a blessing to gather in your house tonight. Lord, to gather around your word and to see what you have to say. Lord, we're grateful to have a copy of your word in our language. Lord, many do not. Lord, for which, Lord, we ask that you would use us to be a blessing and to reach them with the gospel. Lord, you've given every Christian a commandment to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, that commandment is not an easy commandment. Lord, and it is an impossible commandment without thee. Lord, we need you to accomplish that great task. Lord, that task, Lord, there'll always be something to do. So, Lord, may each of us get involved in it and do our part. Lord, would you use this church in a mighty way to reach the world with the gospel? Make it a worldwide blessing. Lord, you can do that. Lord, I pray that you would. Be with us now as we dive into thy word. I ask that you would guide my lips and my heart and my mind. Lord, help me to say what only you would have me to say and keep me from saying anything foolish. Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. Lord, we're expecting great things from you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This psalm is a messianic psalm. Messianic means that is a foretelling of Jesus Christ. So we understand that David is the one who wrote this psalm. The Lord used him to pen this passage. And when I look at this passage, I read this passage, I wonder if David really knew what he was writing. We could find in the scriptures how the prophets desired to know what they were writing about and what they were foretelling, but they didn't fully understand it all. And I'm grateful that we can look back at it. And we can get what God had for us and what was coming in Jesus Christ and what he would do for our sins. And this is what this is. This is a messianic psalm. It's talking about Jesus Christ. And if you would allow me tonight, I'd like to look at this psalm as the very words of Jesus Christ. Because if it is the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us that the Word was with God and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, then we can know that Christ said this, that this is straight from God. And I want us to think of it this way as possibly even something that Jesus Christ may have prayed to the Father while he was on earth. In this mindset, if we could, I want to read through the chapter, if you would read along with me. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Oh, we must be careful. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. If we were to look at verse 8 and through verse 11, we would find a parallel scripture found in Acts chapter 2. Will you take your Bible? Keep your place here in Psalms, because we're going to be back. But go to Acts chapter number 2, if you would, with me. Acts chapter number 2. This is a message preached by the Apostle Peter. He's preaching, and he gets to, if we could look at verse number 22 with me. He's preaching, and I'm going to go ahead and start reading for sake of time, but Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. He's preaching unto them Jesus Christ. We know Jesus Christ has already came. He's died and he's been raised again. He's ascended up to the Father. His disciples have gone out preaching the truth, and Peter is preaching in this very passage. Verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains. So he's talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 24 again, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David, so he's going back to David. Now pay good attention. We're going back to our passage in Psalm. That's what he's referring to. Stay here in Acts chapter 2, verse 25. For David speaketh concerning him. Now he's going to quote, he's going to start quoting what David has to say in Psalm chapter 16 that we just read. He says, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Is some of this making sense? You're remembering it from Psalm chapter 16? Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. We just read this in Psalm chapter 16, verse 28. Now thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak. So Peter is speaking now. He's not quoting David again. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, so he was prophesying in Psalm chapter 16, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. He's saying, listen, he's going back and he's trying to explain to them that David wasn't talking about himself, because David's body saw corruption. He was buried and his body saw corruption. What David is writing about in Psalm chapter 16 is about Jesus Christ. Did his body see corruption? No. He raised to life 3 days later, did he not? His body never decayed. And he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. This is who David is writing about. He's told to pin this, and he pins it, and he's speaking about Jesus Christ. So we know that David is not talking about himself here. So this is the mindset I want you to be in as we read this chapter and try to understand what Christ is telling us. The title of the message, if you want to put a title down, is The Joy of Christ. The Joy of Christ. This chapter is about how Christ was going to die, he was going to be buried, he was going to rise again, and his body was not going to see corruption. Let me ask you a question. If you knew that you were on your way to your deathbed, you knew you were coming to it, and it wasn't going to be an easy one. You were going to be nailed to a cruel cross. Would you say, as Christ said, thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy? What would your spirit be like if you knew that was where you were headed, was to the cross? Would that be your spirit? Would you have joy? What is joy? Joy speaks of joy. I'm sorry, let me find my place here. How to have joy. Joy is blithesomeness, exceeding gladness, or rejoicing. Who in here could raise their hand and say, I'm always have joy? Okay, I didn't think so. Me neither. But we ought to. We ought to live in the joy of the Lord. So how are we, like Christ, to experience this joy? Well, let's walk through this chapter and see what the Lord has to say. Verse number one, the Lord Jesus Christ, like I said, I want you to come to this thinking that this might have been a prayer that Jesus Christ prayed to the Father. He says, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." Do you understand that God was 100% man, yet 100% God? Do you know he still had to deal with his flesh? He still had to crucify the flesh as he's commanded us to crucify the flesh? So we see here that Christ placed his trust in the Father, the Son placing his trust in the Father, relying in the Father to give him everything he needed. And you and I, if we're going to have joy in this life, must trust the Lord. We must place our trust in his hands. Now, it begins all with salvation. So I have to ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know if you were to get in a car accident on your way home tonight that you would spend eternity with the Lord in heaven? You must place your trust in him if you do not. If you have not already placed your full trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, not believing in baptism, getting in a pool of water does not save you. Doing good works does not save you. The Bible says, not of works of righteousness, which we have done, but it's through Christ. It's not of works. Listen, how cool of a God to send his only son to die on the cross if you and I could get ourselves there by ourselves. I don't want to serve a God that would be like that. But he's not, because there was no other way. So in love, he sent his son in your place and mine, to pay your penalty and my penalty. So you and I wouldn't have to hang on a cross. So you and I don't have to spend an eternity in hell. You must come to that position realizing that you can't get there by yourself. But it is only through the payment of Jesus Christ, the shed blood that he shed for you and for me. I'm grateful he didn't stay dead, aren't you? He rose again and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, this trust is not simply believing in facts about God. You'll meet people knocking doors, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I believe God. Yeah. They believe that he exists. They believe that, hey, he may have even had a son named Jesus. And yeah, he may have died on the cross. The trust that the Word of God is speaking about is full reliance on him. Let me ask you a question. How many in here have ever flown in an airplane before? Raise your hand. Who's ever flown an airplane? Wonderful. Who has ever rode with somebody else and you did not feel great, very safe in that car with them driving? Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Maybe that's a better one, okay? But no matter what, you were stuck and you had to trust them anyways, right? Yeah, well, where I'm from, I live in Central Texas. Austin Airport is about an hour south of us. Dallas Airport, which is a massive airport, is about 2 hours north of us. And if I told somebody, especially in the area I live, if I asked them, do you believe that there's airplanes at the airport? They'd say, yeah. I mean, that's why it's called an airport, right? There's airplanes there, right? And you would believe me that there's airplanes there. You've got this Beckley, this airport here in Beckley, right? Or in Beaver. Is it Beaver? Wherever it is. There's an airport, right? And there's planes there. And you might even say, hey, I believe they fly. I've watched them. You can watch them soar through the sky. You believe they fly. Well, that's great. That's a great fact to believe in. But you have not placed your trust in an airplane until you've personally got on it, sat on a seat while it took off and got you from point A to point B. That's trusting that plane, because if it don't get you there, if it doesn't land nice, if it drops out of the sky, you're going with it. That is placing your trust in that plane. Does that make sense? You've no longer just believed facts about it, that it can get you there. You've placed your trust in it. Listen, you can believe all the facts you want to believe about God, but if you are not trusting in him and him alone to get you to heaven, then you're not going there. There's no other way. It's only through Christ. I hope you've made that decision in your life. I hope you've placed your trust in an almighty God that can take care of you. So you must trust the Lord, and we see that in verse number one. Now, I'm not saying Christ was placing his trust in God for salvation, because he didn't need that. But he's giving us an example. He, with his flesh, still had to trust God. We must declare our dependence upon God if we're going to experience joy in this life. Dear Christian, You must trust Him on a daily basis. Isn't it interesting? Some of us say that we can trust the Lord with our eternal salvation, but we can't trust Him with the day-to-day. Isn't that pretty sad? We don't know where the money's going to come from to pay our bills, and we get all worked up about it. We don't know how we're going to make it to the next day. If you've trusted Him with your soul, I think you can trust Him with the day-to-day. He says He will provide for all of our needs. If we're going to have joy in this life, we must place our trust in the Lord. Secondly, we must serve Him. We must serve Him. Look at verse number 2, if you would, with me. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. The Lord is saying here, it's not God the Father that's necessarily benefiting from Him going to the cross. Who is really the benefactors of Christ going to the cross? You and me. He's saying they're the ones that are really benefiting from this. Verse number 4, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Let me ask you, who are you serving or what are you serving? You and I serve our bellies all the time. I can tell you from personal experience that sometimes I serve my belly. Do you not? We serve the lusts of the flesh. We think about what's going to happen after church instead of what's being preached from the Word of God. I'll tell you what, the hardest time sometimes is Sunday morning when you're hungry and you want to get home for lunch. But sometimes we make other gods, do we not? If we're going to have joy in this life, we cannot make gods, other gods. What does the Word of God say in verse 4? Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. You say, things just aren't going right in my life. I can't figure it out. I don't know what's going on. When was the last time that you put God in His rightful place in your life? When was the last time that you said, not what I want to do, I'm going to go spend some time with the Lord because that's what He wants me to do? If we're going to have joy in this life, we must trust the Lord. We must serve Him. The work that Christ was about to accomplish on the cross was for your sake and mine. It wasn't for Him. Who was He serving? Himself? No. He was serving you and me. He was laying His life down. Did He not wash the disciples' feet? He showed us how to be a servant. He showed us how to be a servant. The God of this universe, the one who was seated at the right hand of the Father, the one who was praised every day was receiving praises from the angels, left all of that to come to earth, to be born of a woman, to grow up in a sin-cursed world, to die on a cross. If that's not service, I don't know what is. That's service. And listen, that's setting aside what you want to do for the betterment of somebody else. I have asked the Lord to help me to learn how to serve my wife better because I don't always serve my wife like I ought to. Maybe there's some area in your life where you're not serving like you ought to serve. That's why you're not experiencing the joy that God has for you. Philippians 2 and verse 5 through 8, you don't need to turn there, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was a servant. Number 3, if we're going to have joy in this life, we must fix our eyes on the prize. Will you look at verse number 5? It says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. It says, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. What are you looking for? What do you desire? What are your eyes fixed upon? This world's a busy place. And our eyes, man, if you're anything like me, you get distracted real easy, very easily. But if we are going to have joy in this life, our eyes must remain on the Lord. They must remain on the Lord. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Where are your eyes and my eyes supposed to be fixed? On this world and what this world has to offer? On my spouse completely, and that's nothing? I'm only looking to my spouse for joy? No. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord. If you and I are going to have joy in this life, we must have our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything we need. He says here in verse 5, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Listen, when someday there's some things that I know that if the Lord does not come back first, when my father passes away, that he said, son, I want you to have this when I pass away. One of those things is a Springfield 30-06 from World War II. It was his father's, it was passed down to him, and he wants it to come to me. That's an inheritance. Can we understand what an inheritance is? Nod your heads. Okay, good. Most of you are still awake. Some of you are, at least. Yes, we know what an inheritance is. What are you looking for from God? What is the new car? A new house? What are you looking for in an inheritance? Or is the Lord everything that you need? Is He all that you need? What are your eyes fixed upon? The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. I wish I had time to dissect this more, but I'm running out of it. Christ was content with all he had in the Lord, his Father. He was content with that. Listen, he didn't have a house. He told his disciples, if you're going to follow me, I don't have any place to lay my head. What are your eyes fixed on? He is all you need now, and he is all you need later. That word cup comes from a word that means to hold together, or figuratively, a lot in life. He holds it all together. He holds it together. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. He holds us together. As we realize that He's all we need nothing else. You see, when we get irritated, when we get depressed, when we get all of those things, what's the issue? We're looking at self. We're worried about me. Well, what about me? What do I get out of this? Why is nobody serving me? I'm doing this, this, and this, and what about me? That's when we get irritated. That's when we get disgruntled. What is the opposite of joy? Frustration? Sadness? That comes from looking at self instead of looking at God. And when we look at what all He's done for us, man, when we were singing those hymns, I couldn't help but think of the day that I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And what a day that was. When Jesus changed my life, took me from a hell-bound sinner to a heaven-bound sinner. And I'm grateful for that. Do you have joy today? He maintains our lot. God keeps the saved person's inheritance reserved. You don't have to worry about losing it. And you don't have to worry about losing it. It's a blessing to know that whatever comes my way in this life is allowed by God, and He knows all about it, and He will hold me together as a cup holds fluid. He will hold it together as long as my eyes are fixed upon Him. You and I don't need the things of this world to satisfy our longings. If we're going to have joy in this life, we must obey the Master. In verse number 6, it says, the lines are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. He's willing to obey the Father. He says in verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. We must obey the Master. Then we must remember the goodness of God. He says, I have a goodly heritage. Have you taken time to remember where you came from and where God's brought you from? That you have a goodly heritage in the Lord? You say, I don't have a goodly heritage in my worldly family. Hey, that's okay. You're in the family of God, and you have a goodly heritage. That's okay. You have a goodly heritage. And then we must praise the Lord. It's hard to be discouraged and downtrodden if you're praising the Lord and being thankful. Okay, will you look with me at verse 7? I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. I will bless the Lord. This is Jesus Christ. He's getting ready to go to the cross. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. If you knew the heartaches that were going to come tomorrow, would you still be able to say, bless the Lord, that's okay. Thank you, Lord. I'm willing to go through that trial as long as you'll go with me. And he says in his word that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. So where are you, dear Christian, dear friend? Do you have joy in the Lord? It says in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Who are you setting before you today? Who'd you set before you today? Or what did you set before you? What was your main focus today? Pleasing God or pleasing self? Okay, what is it going to be tomorrow? I have set the Lord always before me. I have a hard time believing that David could speak of himself that way and say, I have always set the Lord before me, because we know he hasn't. Because we saw the mistakes in his life found in Scripture. So we know Christ did, because he lived a perfect sinless life. And he's our perfect example. Let me ask you, who are you setting before you? Or what are you setting before you? Is it the television and what the world wants you to know and think? Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. My wife just saying about how the Lord is her strong tower. The word of God teaches us that. We can run to him. And I'm grateful for that. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad. Why? Because he is at my right hand. He's at our right hand. He's with you. So we can be glad through any trial or temptation. And my glory rejoices, my flesh also shall rest in hope. We can rest. Do you know it's the Lord who gives us rest? If you're going to have joy, you must find rest in the Lord. You must rest in him. Verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. If you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you can have joy, because he's not going to leave you on this earth and in this flesh. He's going to take you home someday. We're just passing through. This is not our home. And I'm grateful for that. So don't get too comfy, all right? Verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You know what all of this is about? I told you a few things to have joy. I gave you a few points. Place your protection or trust in the hands of God. Serve God. Fix your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on him. Obey the master. Remember the goodness of God. Praise the Lord. Yes, all those things will help you to have joy in this life. But what does it all boil down to? Verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. If you and I will learn to live in the very presence of God, then we can experience joy moment by moment, day by day, month by month, year by year, and we'll look back and say, look at this. Look at what God has done. It's not me. It's the Lord with me. You can have joy in the worst of situations. Why? Because you can live in the very presence of God, the Creator God. So where are you living, dear Christian? Are you living in the presence of God today? Will you choose to live in the presence of God no matter what comes your way? Or have you ever experienced the joy of God? Do you even know him as your Lord and Savior? If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, many of us, there's many here that would love to take the word of God and show you how you can know you're on your way to heaven. I encourage you to get that settled tonight. Dear Christian, what is the Lord dealing with you about? I don't know. I don't know you. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But what is the Holy Spirit dealing with you about? Where are you missing out on the joy of God in your life? More stuff isn't going to fix it. Stuff of this world ain't going to do it. Family, listen. Family, I've just spent a wonderful time with my family. But family doesn't give me, it isn't the supply of my joy. It's not going to give you what you need. We need to get it from the Lord. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, teach us to keep our eyes stayed upon thee. Lord, to live in thy very presence. Lord, we talked about some few practical things that will help us. Lord, that I believe we found in your word about joy and how we can experience this joy in our lives. But Lord, I ask that you would do what only you can do by thy Holy Spirit. Would you convict us? Would you change us from the inside out? Lord, so that we can accomplish so much more for Thee. Lord, nobody wants to. No one looks at a sour Christian and says, that's what I want to be. Those that do not know the world, the lost world around us, we're supposed to be a living example. So, Lord, teach us how to be a joy-filled Christian. Lord, we need Thee. Lord, in Thy precious name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Fred to come with us all.
You stand with me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Not only does the message tonight help us understand that this is where the joy of the Lord is in His presence, but it also helps us have victory over our sin. Have you ever been in a situation, in a place, and someone walks in, you get caught doing something you shouldn't be doing? You know why there's joy in the presence of the Lord? Because there's freedom from sin. You cannot continue in sin in the presence of the Lord. When you recognize the presence of the Lord, you flee from the sin that is in your life. When you get that moment where you're just caught, oh no, I shouldn't be doing this. Oh no, I shouldn't be here. Has the presence of the Lord ever caught you that way? Do you live that way? Recognizing that God sees and understands and knows all about you? Your thoughts, the works of your hands? If you will surrender to the presence of the Lord, we have the promise from His Word that we'll have His joy. The key to the Christian life is living consciously in His presence. May we strive to do that. How many of you say, Brother Fred, honestly, sometimes I'll go day after day and not even realize the Lord is with me. I don't recognize His presence. And I certainly don't have His joy. I want to experience that, and I recognize that I'm living in that way outside of His presence, and God's Holy Spirit has spoke to my heart. Would you lift your hand and take it back down? It's the key to the Christian life. Literally almost every hand. As Miss Sandy begins to play, would you come tonight and ask the Lord to help you to live in His presence consciously, knowing that God sees, knowing that God hears, knowing that God understands. When you live that way, He'll give you joy, joy of the Holy Ghost. May God help us to live in His presence. These are praying. Let me ask you to seek the Lord. Brother Sean, if you'll turn this microphone on for me, please. Amen. Amen.